Let's pay careful attention to God's word to us this morning. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And then our passage this morning that we're going to focus on. Bondservants, obey in everything those who are your earthly masters, not by way of eye service, as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. So far God's word, and can I encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we refer to this passage and work our way through it this morning. But first of all, let's bring God's word to him in prayer. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would now break the bread of life to us. Help us to see, help us to understand. May your word pierce our hearts. May we leave this place this morning changed, challenged, encouraged by your word. Holy Spirit, work in us now this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, what's the worst job that you've ever had to do in your life? For me, it was one summer picking Witloff. Who's a fan of Witloff? Only a few. For those of you who don't know Witloff, it's called also called endive. It's a chicory as well, chicory. And I had to spend a part of my summer weeding Witloff. And to do that, you have to bend down, and it's in the hot, dry, water at the sun, and you're weeding, and you're just working your way along. It's back-breaking work. At least it was for a tender, young, soul teenager like me. I actually didn't last long, and I'm pretty sure my attitude as I was doing this job showed that I didn't want to be there. But what about you? Audience participation time. What are some examples of the worst job that you've ever done? No one's going to say working for Steve this morning. But we'll get to see shortly, don't you worry.
Firing people.
Firing people. Yes, I can understand. Firing people. Anyone else?
Shoveling chicken poo.
Shoveling chicken poo. Yeah, I've done that too, actually. Shoveling chicken poo, yeah. One more.
Cleaning toilets.
Cleaning toilets. What's the worst job that you've ever done? Well, Paul here in our passage talks, in some ways, about a difficult job, a horrible job. And it allows us this morning to think about how we actually view work. Why do we work? Do we work to allow us to have fun? Do we work because it's a necessary evil? What if you're in a job that you don't like? What does the Bible have to say about work? Well, this morning in our passage, we have a theology of work. God's calling to us as to how we should see work. How should we see God's calling to us? And also to Christian bosses. How are we to see the work that God has called us to? This morning, our theme, our take-home point, is that we are to do all our work serving the Lord. It's up there on the screen for you. We are to do all our work serving the Lord. Just 2 points from the text. The first point that we have this morning is that slaves are to serve from their heart. Now here in the ESV version, if you have the ESV version, you'll see there in verse 22, it says bond servants. If you have the NIV, if I'm right, it says there slaves, doesn't it? Slaves is a better translation here. And it's easy to jump straight from the New Testament of that time and slavery to work today. First of all, no matter what you think about your job today is not slavery. It doesn't even come close. And first of all, as we've done, and we've done that with wives and husbands and children, we have to take ourselves back to the time, to the church at Colossae, and understand what sort of environment they were in. History tells us, and historians tell us, that at one time, up to half of the people living in the Roman Empire were slaves. That translates to about 60 million slaves. And because there were so many slaves, work was generally considered something that was beneath someone who owned slaves. They had slaves to do everything, teach their children, bring up their children. Slaves to do all their work. Now, some slaves had good masters, but generally the life of a slave was not a good one. And just as we've seen with wives, with children, slaves were seen as second rate. And in fact, slaves were below wives and children in Roman society. One Roman writer talks about slaves as tools. He said there were three types of tools, farm implements, articulate, inarticulate, and mute. The articulate was the slave, and all it meant was it was a farm tool that could talk. A master had the power of life and death over his slave. And if a slave had run away and they were caught and they were brought back, if they weren't put to death straight away, they would have an F tattooed onto their forehead, F for fugitive, showing that they had run away. But just as we've seen before, as we've seen with wives, with husbands, with children, Paul here is countercultural. Even the mere fact that Paul is talking to slaves show that he is doing something different here. And so the words of the slaves in Colossae as they were hearing Paul's letter would have been music to their ears, as we looked at Colossians 3 verse 11 a while ago. Here in the gospel there is not Greek nor Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. Christ is all in all. In Jesus Christ all are equal. But Paul still had a call to slaves. Children, what was the command given to you a couple of weeks ago? I know I haven't been here for a couple of weeks. It's going back a couple of weeks. What was the command given to children? Children? We just read it this morning. Can someone tell me? Children? At the back there, yes.
Obey your parents.
In?
Everything.
In everything. Yes, some hands there. You guys, I see you've got it. In everything. Well, here too, slaves are called to obey. Now, not against God's will. That's clear too from Scripture. But they are still called to obey. To obey their masters. And we need to recognize that life was different there. These were people that were oppressed, often in very difficult conditions. And as I've already said, today here in New Zealand, we do not have slavery. We can thank the Lord that things are different. Thankfully, due to Christian influence, unions protect workers. Now, that can be abused, I know. We have laws today that protect employers, but especially employees as they work. Those are good things. And if you're being taken advantage of in your workplace, if you're being bullied, there are ways to seek redress. There are ways to sort things out. And even in that, especially in that, we have the opportunity to display the gospel. And unlike slaves back then, if we're in a work situation that we don't like, that we feel we can't manage, we can find another job or try and find another job. Slaves didn't have that luxury back then. But what does stay true and applies to us this morning is that we are called to serve our earthly masters. We are called to serve our bosses. And know that Paul doesn't make any distinction here. He doesn't say serve Christian masters, just not Christian masters. No, non-Christian masters. No, he says serve them all. How are we to serve? Well, Paul goes on to tell us how. Verse 10, if you're following along in the text. Not by way of eye service. Not by way of eye service. Now, I went to in my early secondary years, I went to a small school out in the country. And this school was a mix of a number of classes, and we had the principal teaching a group of us. And when the principal was in the classroom, we were all doing our work very well. But because he was principal, he often had to go out and do various things. And so when he was out of the room, we would tend to play up a little. We would joke and have fun until one day we heard the snickering from the back window of the classroom. And there was the principal looking and seeing us acting like clowns. He didn't have to say a word. We knew. And for at least a couple of days, the behaviour was much better. But it's the same with work nowadays, isn't it? Paul says, regardless of whether your boss is standing there watching you or not, you are to serve him. You are not just to work well when you are being watched. You are not to work as a people pleaser, doing your job so that you get noticed. And the idea here of being a people pleaser is that you are promoting yourself, putting yourself forward at the expense of other people. That's there in the text as well. Not as people pleasers. And so far, so good. I mean, what Paul has said here isn't earth-shattering. We can see the mirror in that, can't we? We can see that we are called to do an honest day's work. It's not. There's nothing special about what Paul has said. But then Paul changes the game in our text. He says an amazing statement. He says, not by way of eye service as people pleasers, but with sincerity of heart. We'll come to that shortly. Fearing the Lord, whatever you do, he says in verse 23, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And then at the end of verse 24, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see what Paul is saying here? Paul is saying we don't work for wages. We don't work for food. We don't work for the weekend, as the song says. At least not firstly. When we work for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul calls employees to serve the Lord Jesus Christ from their hearts as they go about their earthly vocation. As they work, they are to work in awe and reverence, which is what fear means, in awe and reverence of the Lord. Realizing that they're not serving just an earthly master, they are serving the master of the universe, the creator of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you love your job, whether you hate your job, whether you have a good boss, whether you have the worst boss, whether you get along with your co-workers or don't get along with your co-workers, whether you're the most valued employee or the least valued employee, you are called to give it your all because you are not serving an earthly master, you are serving Jesus Christ. And for that reason, Christians should be the best workers. Always giving their best, or should always be giving their best, giving everything to their job. They should be most reliable, the most dependable. And Paul gives motivation for that service. Motivation in that we're serving the Lord and not men, but also an eternal perspective there in verse 24. He says, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, not for men, knowing that from the Lord you'll receive the inheritance as your reward. Now, this inheritance is eternal life. Now, is Paul saying here, if you work hard, you'll earn eternal life? No, he's not saying that. He's not saying that here. But he is saying, as you are working towards your goal, towards your reward. As you work, you are working towards eternal life. Even our work here on earth has an eternal perspective. He's saying, as you work with your eyes fixed on heaven, fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, fixed on the reward that is coming. That is how you are to do your work. But this encouragement also comes with a warning in verse 25. He reminds them at the end of verse 24, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, or this could also be a command, written as a command, serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on in verse 25 to say this, for the wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. Paul here gives a warning. He says, don't just presume because you're a Christian, because your reward is in heaven, because eternal life is guaranteed to you, that what you do on earth doesn't matter. That you can do what you want because you've got your ticket signed and you're going to heaven. In fact, what Paul is saying here, if the way you work is a way of eye service, only working hard when the boss is looking at you, people-pleasing, only seeking to make yourself first in the job, to climb up the corporate ladder so that you get the best in the top. If you're working to serve yourself, Paul is saying, you should ask yourself, are you even saved? That's the weight of what he's saying here. Again, Paul isn't saying here that you need to earn your way into heaven. But Paul is saying, if you slack at your work, if you do the minimal, if you seek to rip off your boss, if you seek to waste time, if you seek to take as much as you can, Paul is saying, what does that say about your eternal future? What does that say about your eternal perspective? What does how you work say about where you are going? Paul is saying, if you realize you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are not serving men, you're going to want to give work your all, because that's what working worthily, walking worthily in Christ is, the life that looks like. Verse 6 and 7, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Paul is saying, as you work, Show that you are a child of Jesus Christ. Show that you are going to receive that eternal reward. Let your work show that you belong to Jesus Christ. But this isn't just for employees. It applies to all the work that we do. Whether it's school or homeschool, there's one word that I hear quite a bit of when I talk to some of you boys and girls and say, how was school or homeschool today? And that word starts with B. Can anyone tell me what that word is? How was school today? It was? Boring, yes. School was boring. School's too easy. Or school's too hard. But Paul's message to you is that when you are doing your schoolwork, when you are doing your homework, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Boys and girls, if Jesus Christ was sitting next to you in the classroom, was sitting next to you at home when you were doing your homework, do you think that might just sort of change how you did your work? Maybe. If you were doing an assignment, if I can put it that way, for Jesus Christ, do you think you'd want to do your very best? Do you think so? Those of us who are teachers are nodding, I hope, and say, well, we're teachers, yes. Well, every single assignment you do, every single job you do, every single job you do at home, Paul is saying, you're not serving mum and dad, you're not writing something for the teacher, you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. That changes our perspective just a little, doesn't it? Those of us who are retired, you've worked hard all your life. Now you've got so much time on your hands that you don't know how you did work before. That's not true, is it? I have not met one retired person that says, I've got so much time on my hands. Now I know I hear, man, I don't know how I fit work in when I was working. Your retirement is not the time to say, oh, that's it, it's all for me now. Paul says your retirement is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Enjoy your retirement, work in your retirement, serving the Lord Jesus Christ. For everything we do, mums, your work, looking after the family, teaching children, it's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says, as you do it heartily. Pour everything into it because that is worthy service of the Lord. Slaves, serve from your heart. But Paul also has a word for masters, and that's our second point this morning. Masters, serve your master. Now, verse 25 can work both ways. It can be talking just to slaves or bondservants. And it can also be talking just to masters, but most commentators agree that it's a verse that does double duty. It's looking back to servants and forward to masters. Masters, employers. It says here, Paul says here, you will be judged for the way that you treat those under you. First of all, Paul talking to Colossae, you'll be judged for the way that you treat slaves. And when we look here at masters, we can think of anyone who's in charge of people, anyone who has responsibility over people. And Paul says and explains to them how you, if you are over people, are to treat people. But first of all, he explains the why. He says God doesn't have favourites. It's there at the end of verse 25. There is no partiality. The wrongdoer will be paid back for the wrong he has done, and there is no partiality. This word here, partiality, can also be translated as God doesn't have favourites. In the Roman economy, the Roman world, the master was at the top of the pile, slaves are at the bottom. And Paul is saying to masters, just because you're in a high position, don't think that you get a pass. Don't think that God is going to treat you better just because of where you are in position. The words of Colossians 3 verse 11 are words to masters as well. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. Christ is all and in all. You should see yourself as an equal, not above. And just because you're in a position of authority, Paul says, you don't get any extra grace. You don't get any extra reward. And Paul says exactly the same thing as he says to masters, as he says to slaves. To employers, as he says to employees. Remember who you are serving. Masters, treat your bondservants justly and fairly, knowing that you also have a master in heaven. As you work, as you look after people, remember that you are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, over the years, I've met a number of Christian bosses. A number of Christian bosses who run very successful businesses. But sadly, for a significant number of those bosses, they're only running good businesses because of good business principles. And I want to be clear here, Brother Steve, I know I singled you out before. I'm not pointing you in that, putting you in that basket. I don't want to misalign your name in any form, brother. And so we're going to call this person Ted. And no, Ted's not another name for Steve, just so you're clear. Ted has a very successful business. He makes a lot of money. He's known in the community for being, or for running a very successful business. But when it comes down to it, he's also known as being a very shrewd businessman. He's someone who pays his bills just at the last minute. He's someone that drives a very hard bargain. He's someone that you don't want to work for, because if you get on the wrong side of him, you know you're going to hear about it. Paul paints a different picture here in our passage. Paul holds out a different way. Masters, employers, Paul is saying here, your business, your position of authority is not your position of authority, not your business. It belongs to the Lord. And if you're in the privileged position of owning a business, you are called to see if Jesus Christ first. And that should impact every single decision that you make. How does this serve the kingdom of heaven? How are you called to treat those under you? Paul makes it clear in verse 1, justly and fairly. A fair wage, doing what is fair, being the best Christian boss that you can. I read an article in Stuff the other day on productivity losses in the workplace. When people's well-being are low, this article said, there was more absenteeism at work. People didn't turn up for work. But what this article wanted to talk about was something different. It's called, and I trip over the word, but I'll say it slowly, presenteeism. Presenteeism. Presenteeism is different from absenteeism. Absenteeism means that the worker just doesn't turn up. Presenteeism means that the worker turns up for work, but they're working well below their capacity. What are some of the factors that are a factor in presenteeism? It's stress, it's poor mental health, it's lack of sleep, it's financial challenges, it's other factors. And the solution, this article said, is to treat your staff well, get to know them, ask what they're facing, find out their struggles, tell them, show them that you value them. Now, this is written by a non-Christian author, but brothers and sisters, you who are leading people, we should be leading the charge in this area. Now, it's easy to sit and think, well, that's not really my problem. employee stress. I mean, okay, if I'm causing the stress, I get that. But if they're not sleeping well, that's not my fault. If they're facing financial challenges, I pay them a fair wage. What's that my problem? Paul says, no. You're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Him you serve. And again, that changes how we see those under us. We care for them. We're concerned for them. It's not about the bottom dollar. It's not about maximizing profit. It's about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Masters, how are you serving your master? In the movie The Princess Bride, Wesley is serving Princess Buttercup. And life is not that great for Wesley. She mistreats him, she abuses him, she takes advantage of him. But every single time she asks him to do a task, he simply answers, as you wish. He humbly, simply serves her. Now the story moves and develops, and eventually they live happily ever. No, I don't want to spoil the ending for you. But brothers and sisters, as we serve the Lord, as masters or servants, that should be us. As we come to work this week, as we go to school, as we're folding the washing, we need to hear this morning Paul's charge to us. When you do your work, whatever it is, however menial, however lowly, however unimportant it seems to be, you are serving the Lord. And so as you come to him this week, as you live before him this week, remember that you're doing all your work for your Savior. And simply pray and say to him, not as I wish, not what I want, but as you wish. Amen. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, the message that Paul gave the church at Colossae was a countercultural message in those days, as he spoke to those who were seen lowly in society. But Heavenly Father, this message is countercultural to us today as well, because our default position is to simply work and live life to serve ourselves. We ask you this morning to forgive us for those attitudes that we have that are self-serving. Forgive us for a wrong view of work. Instead, Heavenly Father, hold up before our eyes this morning the Lord Jesus Christ as we're about to have held up in the Lord's Supper. Remembering that everything we do is to serve Him. May that not that create an extra burden of guilt and crush us, but rather, Lord, free us. Free us in what we do. Not to blame others. Not to look after ourselves, but simply to say, yes, Lord, we will continue and serve you. And thank you, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of working to serve you and your kingdom. Change our hearts. Change our perspective. Give us the strength that we need, whether we are bosses, whether we are employees, whether we're working at home or at school. Help us to work with all of our heart to serve you. Heavenly Father, that's just a small, small return for what you have done for us in your Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for his service, his work on the cross for us, his placing himself, lowering himself, going to death for us. Remind us of that now as we celebrate together the Lord's Supper. Remind us of that as we go back in the working week to serve you. Give us strength, we pray, that we may do not what we wish, not what we want, but as you wish. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's turn our hearts and minds as we focus now to the Lord's Supper by singing number 444, My Faith Looks Up to Thee. As we're struggling in our workplaces, as we're struggling in what we're doing, it is good for us to look up to Jesus Christ and remember what he has done for us. Let's stand and sing the words of number 444, "My faith looks up to thee."